a play call.
You're listening to the best of the Commanders.
And it is good. Washington wins.
A weekly mix of 106.7 The Fan and 980 The Team's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Welcome back. Chunky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and The Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. You can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. And we're brought to you by Main Street Bank as we celebrate 30 years of the Junkies. Cheer local, bank local. Main Street Bank is a business-focused community bank proudly serving the DMV since 2004. Visit mstreetbank.com to learn how to put our team in your office. Main Street Bank, member FDIC, equal housing opportunity lender. Spishcake, CB, and JP. Somebody sent a message yesterday or the day before asking, when is our Dewey trip? And I couldn't commit because I don't know if it's 100% locked. I think it's supposed to be right around Memorial Day.
That was the thinking, yeah.
But we are going to
have questions.
Yeah, because somebody wanted to book a hotel already. And I said I think it's going to be this weekend, but I can't guarantee it. So you can do whatever you want.
Booking
your
hotel. Like,
your cool response
events.
Should have been, keep it in
yeah,
your pants.
I wouldn't
we're gonna, promote any weekend. We'll let you know what it is, because we don't know exactly what it is yet.
I wasn't promoting. I just was responding to somebody.
I wouldn't even respond to it. Or I would
try and respond to everybody.
Sometimes you don't need to do that.
I wouldn't.
It's very nice of him to reach out. We appreciate it, but just I would hold off.
We'll let you know. Yes. Don't worry. We'll let you know. We're not going to give you false information, but we'll let you know. Don't worry. And you'll have plenty of time. But there's going to be quite a few things that we're going to do this year. It's going to be fun. Mm-hmm. I'm excited.
So the Washington Commanders had an abysmal year. They finished 5-12. Both coordinators get wiped out. No defensive coordinator, no offensive coordinator. Spent a lot of time last week talking about Cliff Kingsbury's ouster and who would replace him. Ultimately, Dan Quinn has hired David Blough, 30 years old, just was in the league a couple of years ago, was a scrub quarterback in the league. I think he finished with 6 career touchdowns, 9 interceptions.
That's almost to his advantage. Like, yeah. The guys that tend to often, in my mind, blossom aren't not superstars. You know,
yeah, you don't have to be a star player.
Yeah, but I don't even know why you would say, like, why would you even say scrub player?
Just saying this, that's
say
what he
player.
Was.
I mean, just pooping on him
just
for no reason.
Just denigrating him.
Yeah, I mean, he's in the NFL.
He was a college player, and he was in the NFL.
Yeah. He's in the NFL.
So remember,
I mean, I'm not denigrating him any more than Cakes did earlier when he said, when I had a fantasy team and I saw David Blough was going to start, I picked the opposing defense.
But I didn't call him a scrub.
Yeah.
I
did it with kind of implying.
I did it with more tact and more grace.
Hey, remember, Derek Queen's triple-double wasn't that silly.
I didn't say it wasn't silly.
He didn't have enough points.
You kind of did. You said it was kind of nubs when it came to points.
Listen, nitpickers. It doesn't matter.
You're the king nitpicker. What are you talking about?
Okay,
that's exactly what you said.
Well, how would you describe his play during his...
I wouldn't. I would just say he's an ex-player.
Yeah. Okay. He was a backup quarterback in the league.
He was a backup slash practice squad player.
Listen, yes. I name call people all the time. It's just funny that, and this is kind of his moment, you just threw in scrub gratuitous.
By the way, if we were talking about Ben Johnson, he'd say, yeah, he was a scrub.
Yeah. Me?
Yeah. He was a scrubby quarterback.
I don't know. I know nothing about him.
I'm just giving an example.
I know what you're doing, but to add further insult to injury, yeah. I don't even know where he came from.
I don't know his background either. Outside
I don't know if
he
played quarterback, DB, wide receiver, baseball. I don't know anything about him.
Well, Ben Johnson started the year as the assistant quarterbacks coach on the Commanders.
David Blough.
Yes. Then ascended to be the quarterbacks coach, and now will be the offensive coordinator replacing Cliff Kingsbury. Do you like the move? 1-800-636-1067. Or are you worried? He doesn't have experience as a play caller. Hasn't been an OC before, so they didn't go the experienced route.
Mm-hmm. Ben Johnson, by the way, was a quarterback in North Carolina.
Mm, nice.
There you go.
Nice. But it must have been a backup because I don't remember him playing.
But I have to go back and look at the stats.
That's a high level of football that
he was a
achieved.
Reserve quarterback.
Yeah, that's a high level. Not taking a shot.
You don't need to be some stud. Kyle Shanahan is arguably
point.
The best offensive guy.
That's my
guy.
Point. So why say bum?
Just setting it up who he is. Most people don't know who he is.
He was a high achiever in college. He played major college football.
Yep.
Like, he didn't turn into a great pro or anything like that. But like,
that's how hard it is to do to turn into a great pro.
Yeah,
it's very hard.
Listen, I think for me, I'll speak for me personally as a Skins fan, without question, the biggest Skins fan here. I always end up getting behind their hires. So he wasn't number one on my list, but I know nothing. I'll be the first one to tell you I know nothing. Everybody says he's a boy genius. I take your word for it. Probably is. I would have preferred if all things were equal and all those guys were available at the exact same time and you could pick, but that all things aren't equal because you don't know if McDaniel's going to get a head coaching job and you have to wait and you have other teams calling trying to pluck plow from you. Yeah. All things being equal at the exact same time, I would have rather had Mike McDaniel. Now, let me just counter one other thing. The one criticism that I think is somewhat foolish is the idea you can't hire somebody because he's going to be successful and gone in a year. You want all your guys to be successful. And if they're going to be gone in a year, that's fine. Anybody that's super successful, you run that risk. So I think that criticism is foolish.
And McDaniel, personally. Look, McDaniel, I just read he has like 4 or 5 head coaching gig interviews lined up.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't
unlikely
wait.
They were going
to get him. If you want to get your guy, you can't wait for him to go through 5 different interviews for head coaching gigs.
And then all these other guys get plucked.
Right. Yeah. So, he liked Blau. He likes the relationship he has with Jaden Daniels. It is risky, but he's taking a chance on an in-house guy.
But it
sounds
risky?
Like that's what he wanted to do.
It's risky in the sense that he hasn't called plays before and that sort of
thing.
But they know what I like is he's been in their building for 2 years. So, if he was kind of a dud, if he if it was like an underachiever,
they wouldn't have elevated.
There's no chance.
What's interesting is all those names that Dan Orlovsky mentioned, I don't think they interviewed any of them. They didn't interview LaFleur or the guy from Jacksonville.
They interviewed Drew Terrell, who was from Arizona.
Yeah.
They interviewed, I think, 2 in-house guys outside of Blau. Like
Johnson.
Right.
Johnson was one of
Brian Johnson,
They interviewed the tight end guy.
In-house. They probably knew. It was probably in their gut that they were going to go with Blau.
Yeah.
Unless someone else blew him away.
Seems like DQ was leaning towards him all along. Yeah.
My only concern would be is if you do want to change the offense, maybe it would have been better to go with an outside guy.
Trust me.
But maybe they're not going to change the offense. Cakes has a valid argument.
They're changing the offense.
Cakes has a valid argument that when Jaden was healthy and they were in shotgun all the time, they had one of the top five offenses in the league.
That offense is going to change 50% at least.
Because the reports are out that Dan Quinn wants a more run-centric offense.
Right. So they're definitely changing the offense.
It's not going to look exactly the same as it did under
maybe
Kingsbury.
At least 50% different. Not 100, because how can it be 100? But it's going to be different.
Hey, yeah, I think it should. I think the league is kind of trended that way.
They're going to have different guys, too. They're going to add to that roster.
I brought it up a bunch of times, but Caleb Williams was a guy who was never under center, just like Jaden Daniels. Very similar in college, high school, all that stuff was always in shotgun. And Ben Johnson went in there and changed it. Mm-hmm. And that is a super successful offense. And certainly, Jaden could thrive in that.
It's maybe the dumbest thing possible to think that they would hire Blau and have him run the same offense for the guy that they couldn't stand by the end of it. I mean, there's just no chance.
Correct.
The chance of him running the Kingsbury's offense is 0.
Yeah, there's no
will
way.
Will he run a few plays? Maybe a few concepts from it?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But is he running Kingsbury's offense? 0% chance.
Dan Quinn's not going to say, hey, I want you to do the exact same thing that Cliff
did. The guy I just fired.
Out the door.
And by the way, I never mentioned this. But in the last game, I noticed something on the sideline in the interaction between Cliff and DQ that I thought was a little telling. And again, I read into too much, so I'm probably wrong. But they were on the sideline, and there was like a timeout or something. And Josh Johnson was coming to the sideline, and DQ just motioned to Cliff like go over there, go like he just kind of it was kind of. It was a slightly disrespectful, kind of like a sideline interaction.
Demeaning.
A little bit
get
demeaning.
Get out of
get
here.
Over there. No. It was like, get over there and talk to Josh.
Oh, okay.
I'll talk to these guys. You go over there. It was subtle.
Maybe. Yeah.
It was subtle, but for me, I noticed it.
Yeah.
On the sideline. All right. Let's bang out some of these calls. 800-636-1067.
On a surprise scale, where were you?
I had for the Blau hiring. 7.5.
I have to give you 2 answers.
I'd say a 4 for me. How about you, Jason? You've got 2 answers, so I'll save you for last.
I wasn't that surprised because, I mean, his name was out there and he was already on staff. So I thought, I didn't.
So a two?
I thought they would interview more guys, but mm-hmm. I wasn't that shocked.
So I would say.
Scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most surprised.
I don't know,
surprised.
5.5, 6.
Oh, so I have two answers. So 3 weeks ago, before they fired Cliff, and if you had said to me, David Blau was going to be the offensive coordinator, my surprise level would be a 10. By the time it happened, my surprise level was 0 because of the reporting. You could see it leading up to it. But 3 weeks ago, it would have been a 10.
Could Cliff been a little rushed?
Could Cliff been just a placeholder for him? Maybe like Cliff doesn't seem
all
like
along?
Yeah, doesn't seem like a really long term solution because I think he would have aspirations to be a head coach again
for sure.
And then while he's kind of grooming Blau to call plays because Blau wasn't quite ready yet. Until Blau was ready.
I think that's what ended up happening, but I'm not sure if that was by design at the beginning. But I do think that was what ended up happening. I'm not sure.
I think it may have been designed from the beginning.
Maybe.
But it's just a little early. It's just early.
Right. Jason, what did your source say to you about this? That this was a tension between Cliff Kingsbury and Adam Peters?
My source told me that there was tension between Peters and Kingsbury because Kingsbury didn't like the fact that Peters was always on his jock about play calling and about results, and he didn't like the fact that he was always in his ear, and it became untenable.
So Blau just might be a better soldier, willing to listen to the analytics and everything.
I'm sure some of that's true. They know what they're getting with Blau. They know exactly that the good thing is they know exactly what they're getting.
I think this is a risky move. I think
because
it's very risky. It's inexperienced. You're coming into a crucial year for Jaden and Dan Quinn.
What mitigates it, I hear you. What mitigates it is they know what they're getting. So they know exactly what they're getting. If it was an unknown from another organization, and they had only heard reputation, they had a good interview, they see him at a few coaching clinics or whatever, that's riskier. This guy's been in the building for 2 years, so they know exactly what they're getting.
I think it's riskier that you have someone who's never called plays before as your OC.
I understand that.
I think that's more riskier.
A risk, but in the exact same scenario, if you had a guy who hadn't called plays, who hadn't been in your building, that's riskier.
You have someone who is green beyond green, taking over the second most important coaching position.
He might be more of a yes man. They might want the front office if Jason's source is right.
I think that's
the front
unfair.
Office is trying to tell the coaches to do certain things. He might be. I'm saying might.
You're
it's not unfair to say might.
I think that's unfair.
He might be more of a yes man. Why is it unfair?
Or maybe
he's speculating.
Kind of assuming.
Or maybe Quinn has seen what he's done over the 2 years he's been there and
that's
realizes, hey, like this guy's good.
Yeah, but
he's going to fill in nicely.
But it's risky. Of course
it's
risky.
But if I put yourself in Dan Quinn's shoes, all right?
Oh, it's definitely a risk.
So you're not on the hot seat, but it's starting to warm up, and you're putting your offensive faith in somebody who's never called a single play?
He's on the warm seat, minimum.
After a year that he just had?
I would say it's risky, but maybe Blau could be a natural.
It's definitely risky, but I think he knows what he's got. I think it's not as risky as it appears.
He must know what he has because.
But it is risky.
Otherwise, would he be willing to risk his time here? Because he knows if it's a flop and a failure,
right,
and they win 6 or 7 games,
he's
going to be thrown overboard.
Well, then I would have to ask Adam for some sort of coaching certainty. Like if things go south and we put Blau in there, mm-hmm. and you know the offense isn't clicking. You know, don't look at me to get me out of there.
Right.
It's going to come down to Jaden Daniels' health.
I think he's going
to
be okay.
If Jaden Daniels is healthy, Blau will have
there.
A chance to succeed.
Him.
Let's
he
be real.
He hasn't called a play. Never called a play.
I don't think that's true either. I think he's drawn up plays.
He's designed plays. He's never called them in the game, in the moment.
I know, but he's played quarterback at a high level. I think he's going to be okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to overwhelm him.
Look, sometimes it doesn't work out.
Like
the Eagles are probably going to fire their offensive coordinator after mm-hmm. this year.
100%.
Everything that I've heard.
My shock level.
They might want to fire their quarterback.
And Valdez, you also have to understand that Dan knows this. He has obviously sat there at his desk, and he's been scratching his hair, and he's going, am I really going to give this job to a guy that hasn't called plays? But like, he's considered it. It's not newsworthy. Like, he knows. So he's decided, because he knows him and he knows the brain he has and his work ethic. Look at the old interviews. You can read the old interviews. JP interviewed him. There's other interviews where DQ, where they've been raving about him for 2 years. So is it risky? Sure. But I think they know.
Poor Brian Johnson, the assistant head coach.
They
think they know.
Yeah.
But it is risky. It's risky.
It could backfire.
I grant you that. It is risky, but I think they know. I think they think it's worth the risk, and he's going to survive it. He's going to step to the challenge. But is it risky on in a vacuum? Sure.
I can't believe how much trust you have in this whole process. I mean, my radar's up on this. Like, this is...
I'm not saying it's going to work. I'm just saying they know what they've got.
Don't you think the health of Jaden Daniels is the most important?
Yeah.
Of course.
Of course.
And so maybe that's part of the equation, that they think this guy will help Jaden Daniels stay upright. But if Jaden Daniels doesn't stay upright, David Blau is going to get blown out with Dan Quinn.
Hmm. He's going to get blowed out.
And Adam Peters might be long for the ride, too.
I would argue that his seat is already hot, Valdez.
Oh, yeah.
I think his seat's pretty
minimum
hot.
It's warm.
I think
minimum.
I think it has to be a catastrophic year for him to get fired.
Yeah, but wouldn't... So your argument is he knows what he has in Blau. But couldn't you say Dan Quinn knows what he would have in McDaniel? I mean,
yeah, I think if he thought he could get McDaniel, he might have. But McDaniel had too many. He couldn't wait. Because his backup, let's just say Blau was his backup. He couldn't afford it. He has 5 head coaching interviews, potentially.
McDaniel could be a threat, too.
McDaniel could take other OC jobs.
But McDaniel could be a threat if you have him on your staff. And let's say the offense blows up and Quinn's defense continues to suck. They could blow out Quinn and elevate McDaniel.
Sure. But, some coaches are afraid of that.
But that's a risk. You always run that risk. If you have talent, if you have a talented staff, you're going to have guys that are possibly going to take your gig.
And maybe they knew McDaniel was going to be a head coach in one of these 8 openings.
He couldn't afford to wait.
Yeah.
That's what I think it was. You could even make the argument.
I think they could have afforded to wait. Why couldn't they afford to wait?
Well, because if
they really like Blau.
That's the reason.
He was getting calls.
That's the reason,
No, I know. He was getting interviewed for the Lions.
Blau was gone. If they didn't give him a job, Blau was gone because he was going to be an OC somewhere. So they were going to lose Blau, and then you might have somebody like a Dable that you really don't want. You know? I don't think it's perfect.
Look, we're going to know within the first month, probably within the first few weeks, whether it was the right call or not.
You think so?
Yeah, you're going to see if the offense runs effectively or not. You're going to see if there are big changes made to it.
I know in 4 weeks. Maybe. You might be right.
I think you're probably going to know within the first month.
Well, I know in 4 weeks. You might.
You'll have a vibe.
If the offense is humming and they come out 3-1 and they're averaging 28 to 30 points per game, we'll be singing his praises. If they average 20 points per game, the offense looks stuck in the mud, Dan Quinn's seat heats up, and it's another drama-filled year.
Well, if he has no Terry and he has no Jaden, like Cliff had a lot most of the games this year, then he will struggle.
And it's going to be ugly.
If he has Marcus Mariota under center and no Terry McLaurin out there, David Blau, I don't care what plays he's drawn up, he's going to struggle.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
1-800-636-1067. We'll take your calls next. Your thoughts on the Commanders' new OC.
Ben Standig is with us. We're going to talk about David Blau. Ben Standig can be followed on X on Twitter at Ben Standig. You should read his Substack column called Last Man Standig, and you should listen to his podcast called same name, Last Man Standig. And so... Ben joins us right now. So let's just talk about how we got here. There were 4 guys interviewed, 3 internal, 2 external. Is it your sense that none of those people had a chance, that it was Blau all along, or was there a McDaniel wild card that they still entertained up until late last week?
But by the way, before I get to that, is this hilarious? You mentioned McLaurin. We spent all summer talking about whether 30 is old for a receiver, and now we're talking about whether 30 is too young for an offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Blau, I just looked up, like 2 months older than Terry.
Yeah, they play. They. I remember that game because it was a disastrous game for Ohio State. They could not get Purdue off the field. I mean, Purdue ended up with, I think, 500 and something yards of offense overall, and that was that Ohio State defense. Chase Young was on that defense. You know, that was a team that offensively, K.J. Hill, Terry McLaurin, Paris Campbell, J.K. Dobbins was on that team. But Blau had a great senior year. They went to a bowl game and lost, but they were good offensively. He had Rondell Moore on that team, you know, who was really quite a playmaker out of the backfield. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, to your point of did any of those other people have a real shot? I mean, I don't think so, would be my guess. I don't know this for fact. You know, the two candidates from outside of here, one guy from Dallas that Quinn obviously would know, and then Drew Torello was here. Like, I don't know that we're not seeing those guys mentioned on anybody else's supposed offensive coordinator list, so that seems probably unlikely. You know, Brian Johnson, I think if we had gone back to the beginning of the season and just said, hey, Cliff is going to leave to take another job or something, who's next in line if they're going to hire internally? And I really, the logical answer would have been Brian Johnson because he's been a coordinator. He was brought in to be a passing game coordinator and assistant head coach with Quinn. You know, he's experienced. David Blau, not experienced. So that would have been the one thought. So maybe that was the other possibility. But, you know, if you're going to go with Blau, you know, you probably had to figure, you probably had a sense about this, you know, for some time. And obviously they're going for the upside, you know, and it's maybe that's the way to go. We've seen other, you know, young coaches come through over time. And, you know, we've had these discussions and, you know, you're taking a big flyer. He's never, he's never done the thing that he's going to have to do. He's never even been the position coach before as the lead guy. I mean, I guess he technically sort of was the last few weeks here, but not really. So, you know, that's a huge leap. But, you know, if you're going to get ahead and say, hey, this guy's got so much upside, we think this is worth the risk, then, you know, then that's kind of how they're here. And I think if you're going to even contemplate that to the degree that they clearly were, you kind of have to be bought in that one pretty quick, unless he just absolutely blows an interview, which would seem unlikely since they already know them.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, like you said, Brian Johnson would have been the obvious one, and I'm not disagreeing with you that we would have certainly mentioned his name as we did last year. Like, if Cliff and the offense does really well, Brian Johnson is on the staff. He's a former offensive coordinator. But right from the jump, we were hearing about Blau. You know, we were hearing great things about Tavita Pritchard. He's now the head coach at Stanford. But right from the jump, I mean, someone very close to me in my life who knows Blau well said right from the jump when they hired him, he's one of the smartest dudes. Everybody in the sport thinks he's the next big thing. So this was clearly the way they viewed him. Over the last 2 years, unless something changed in their mind, they continued to view him that way. What I'm getting at is, when do you think that Dan Quinn, you know, and maybe with Adam Peters consulting in their very collaborative relationship, said, yeah, Cliff's fine, but Blau, we can't let leave the building. And I prefer the way Blau would call the offense anyway, because it's a mixture of, you know, Cliff and Ben Johnson and Kevin O'Connell, the whole thing, all of his, you know, touch points along the way. When do you think, you know, do you have a sense of Quinn saying, and or maybe it's been in the back of his mind the entire time and he wasn't ready to start there in 2024. That's why he went out to get Cliff. But is it possible that Blau was always going to be the answer?
Well, when trying to pinpoint for me, like, when did the siren start going off that maybe this Cliff thing is going to go the way that it went? The Minnesota game we've talked about before. I mean, obviously 31-0 isn't just about the offense, but 0 points is notable. And we remember how all that game went and, you know, did he abandon the run and so on and so on. That was also, I believe, the week that Tavita Pritchard left, I think, to go to Stanford, meaning that Blau would be the unofficial QB coach. So to whatever degree he was able to show something in that space does sort of jive with the, again, my sense of when, you know, Quinn may have been like, oh, I don't know if this is where we want to go here long term. So maybe there, you know, it's hard to say. I mean, look, they made a point of saying we want to have a lot of options here with the quarterback room, both to help the quarterback, but also in case something like this happens. And I think the general assumption was probably if Tevita Pritchard leaves and Cliff stays, that they just, you know, bump up Blau to QB coach, and then he gets a little more look, and, you know, then it's a little bit easier the next year to possibly, if Cliff leaves, to say, hey, you're the guy. So maybe they're just, you know, skipping the year, right? Like, they can't obviously, you know, if they go, let's just say they go out and hire Mike McDaniel, then Blau's going to leave, right? I mean, that's just probably how that's going to go. So now you're missing out on Blau, a guy who hypothetically, in the model I just laid out, would have been your guy next year anyway. So they just jumping ahead a year and saying, all right, let's do this.
Do you think he talked to McDaniel just to find out, and ultimately he was like, there's pretty good chance he's going to end up being a head coach anyway? Like, do you think that there was any sort of reach out to say, what's your situation?
I mean, I'm sure at least in a casual, some kind of way. You know, I think when we talked about this the other day, and you know, right before the Blau hire came down, and we started to talk about it, and I think I said that, like, I think one of my concerns with McDaniel coming here, or the idea that he would, is just simply that a lot of other opportunities as an OC would be better jobs, frankly, right now, especially for some guy like him. Obviously, Jaden Daniels is a fun piece, but as we know, the rest of this, you know, the offensive line's good, but the rest of it needs to be dealt with, and you know, the defense as well. So, you know, I don't think you want to be associated with a group that's maybe not, you're not overly confident. Again, not saying Washington would be is a bad job, but for somebody like McDaniel, you know, again, the Lions have more weapons collectively, the Ravens, you know, more collectively, you know, so maybe there would be just, you know, so maybe just wasn't a good fit. Also, I guess let's be realistic. We've all said that Dan Quinn probably just put himself on the clock with hiring by fire or moving on from Cliff, whatever happened there. Do you want to attach yourself to a potential one and done coach? I don't know, for McDaniel that makes sense. In the case of, say, a guy like Blau, it doesn't really matter, right? Because, well, you know, this is an opportunity for him to do his thing. And, you know, if he's being viewed as a hot guy, that's not going to change, unless it's a total flame out, but that's not going to change. So, and, you know, who knows? If, you know, maybe he stays no matter what happens, but that's obviously way down the line. So I imagine it was a courtesy call, at least with McDaniel. But the more I thought about it, the more I was like, I don't know if it's really going to fit here.
Before we get to what it'll look like with Blau, you know, what it means for Jaden Daniels, et cetera, I think it's important because I think, you know, not everybody, even those that are in the day-to-day following everything about this team, I think that they're, you know, outside of our bubble here, there are a lot of fans that are like, who? And I think, you know, I think from my standpoint, like, you know, if somebody said, who's that? I would say, this is a guy who is not just, you know, a random wild card. I mean, there were teams last year that wanted to talk to him about their, you know, openings as offensive coordinator, quarterbacks coach, and the team blocked all of those. You know, it was the Jets, I think the Bears, with Ben Johnson obviously getting that job. I think there's another team involved there as well. And then this year, the Lions wanted him to interview for their offensive coordinator spot. Like, this is a guy that, you know, you hear about him, the guy in Jacksonville, the same thing. You hear about these guys every once in a while, especially after the last decade of just seeing one, you know, position coach in the Shanahan, you know, family go from position coach to head coach and have great success. This is not the Shanahan family hire, even though he did have, you know, a minute with Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota. But I just wanted to emphasize, this is not like a guy that no one's ever heard of. This isn't a guy that's deep down the staff. This is a guy that everybody's really believed in. And while it is bold on some level, because he's never been a coordinator, you know, we've seen a lot of offensive coordinators be first-time coordinators and it be described as bold, and sometimes they work out and sometimes they don't. But usually offensive coordinator hires do come from guys that haven't been coordinators before. The recycling of offensive coordinators isn't, I don't think, as vast as the recycling of head coaches. But I just wanted to make that point. So if you want to add to it, you can.
Well, I think the thing that makes this interesting, beyond the fact that he's never even been a position coach, he's only been coaching for 2 years, et cetera, is that the head coach is not an offensive guy. So you have to imagine that even if Blau is going to be calling plays, I assume that's what's going to happen, because there's nobody else right now you could even say, they got to have to bring in...
What do you mean you assume? Of course he's going to call plays.
I mean, they haven't said anything. I'm just going with, you know, I don't know what's going on, but I'm... Hey, man, you got to play, you know, until they tell me. Well,
they haven't told us officially that Kingsbury's been let go, have they?
Well, yes. But, I mean, they've confirmed it. They haven't put out a statement. Yeah. Again, yes, he's calling. I'm just saying, like, the whole thing is bizarre because of the fact that you would have this person who's never – like, it's one thing when we kept saying, hey, Eric Bieniemy has never called plays in Kansas City. What are we doing here? Okay, well, at least Eric Bieniemy had called plays at Colorado, and he had, you know, somewhat called plays with the Chiefs in the sense of, like, suggesting this, that, or the other. Blau hasn't done any of these things. I mean, you know, even some more of the basic, you know, blocking and tackling aspects of the job, he hasn't done it. So that's where it's all a bit odd. And that's why I think the real interesting hire to come, sure, the O-line coach, for sure, but, like, who's going to be the veteran mentor in that offense that's going to be there to help Blau do the things that an offensive coordinator needs to do?
I mean, Anthony like Lynn, Brian Johnson.
I don't know. If I had to guess, I'm going to guess this is a guess. So you know, I don't know if Brian Johnson will be here only because, you know, okay. He's got to be pretty disappointed that, you know, that he got passed over here. Again, maybe they're all cool with it. But I don't know. That would just seem tough. And Anthony Lynn, you know, if you're going, I don't know if that's the way they want to go either. I mean, they didn't interview him for the head coaching job, which obviously Dan Quinn knows him well. But you know, they didn't do that. So, like, you know, you look at a guy like Daryl Bevel, for example, and I'm just throwing out a name, but he was with Quinn in Seattle. He's been a quarterback coach for several years with the Dolphins. Like a guy like that, to me, and maybe if it's not him, it's somebody like that type of profile. Is what I'm wondering if they're going to bring in. It could be Brian Johnson, but you know, I would think somebody of note's got to come into that spot, and then I think that gives us a little clearer picture of like how this is going to go. But right now,
interesting. So that's interesting. That's not something I've considered or heard. I want to make sure I'm hearing you clearly. That there could be another hire that actually may be a much more recognizable name than David Blau, and they'd bring him in to be what? Offensive line coach? Quarterbacks coach?
Senior offense assistant? Yeah, I mean, like...
A guy like Daryl Bevel, for real?
Well, I mean, I think, like, again, just looking at it logically, he's on Miami. Miami just fired their coach, so in theory, he's available. He's got a lot of ties with Quinn. He's been a QB coach in the league. He's been, you know, he's been an OC. He's had all those experiences, and so I'm just saying somebody like that. Now maybe they decide, hey, we want a quarterback coach independent of everything else because that person needs to work with Jaden, and that's top of for everything. That makes sense. But then you have, yeah, the O-line coach. I imagine that may be something that they look at separately. You know, the Lunda Wells tight end coach from Dallas. You know, part of me, I mean, this is not me playing this game, this out, but if Brian Johnson were to leave, maybe he comes over either as the offensive line coach or the tight end coach with the added label of assistant head coach or one of the passing game, run game coordinators, like one of those things to get him away from Dallas if Brian Johnson were to leave. So things like that. And then, yeah, and then you could have a Bevel come in as like a senior offense assistant or whatever. He can make all these titles, can do whatever. But I'd be surprised, I think, if they didn't bring in somebody with some sort of experience, gravitas, mentorship.
What about like somebody from the Lions staff? You know, that offensive line coach, Hank Fraley's been amazing for a long time now. Somebody like him. Somebody like, I mean, his contacts are the Detroit staff before this staff.
Right. Well, I mean, look, the part of the issue here again with Blau is He doesn't know the people, right? I mean, he knows the people he's been with, but he doesn't know the league because he hasn't been around long enough. So this could very well be, not saying a Dan Quinn hire, but I don't, unless there's somebody specific in Blaz orbit that he's like, yeah, this guy is like what would be great, and Quinn agrees. I can see Quinn be like, okay, let's look at these few people, which one makes the most sense, because obviously he knows everybody in the league, and so does Peters. So Ben, like with a guy, Hank Fraley, I think a guy like that's only leaving if he's getting an OC job. I don't see him leaving. I mean, money's money, I guess, but I don't see him leaving to be, the number two here to this guy. So even if they're friends or what have you, he's got a pretty good job right now. So, like I said, I'm looking to see what sort of mentory type hire they make. Again, somebody has to come in there who has more experience in that job, and the head coach doesn't.
What will the offense look like under Blau?
Yeah, I think this is going to give everybody a lot to contemplate for the next several months. I think one thing we can say for sure is that he's going to incorporate the run game that Ben Johnson was using in Detroit, that was, clearly a big weapon for the Lions. And it feels like, if there really was a fault line between Kingsbury and the rest of the group, is, the lack of consistency in terms of just running the ball and making that sort of the lead, and then, pivoting off of that to do everything else. So that would be that. And I think, obviously, what works best for Jaden Daniels. It would be insane to not say, hey, Jaden, what parts of this playbook do you want to keep, the RPO action, just anything getting him out of pocket, whatever it might be, those are the things you would imagine that they would keep. So some combination of that would be, but again, we don't, that's what's so bizarre about this. I mean, we can't even, there's almost nothing to look at with Blau in terms of what he may or may not do. So it is very much a blank slate, which is both fascinating and also, nerving for those of us who are trying to figure out what the heck's going to happen.
You know, one of the things we talked about early last week, in fact, I think it was a week ago today, is that there's, a decent chance they're going to hire somebody that Jaden's familiar with and comfortable with now that they've gotten rid of Kingsbury. So Blau is definitely that for Jaden Daniels. But I also wonder, given... look, it's hard to evaluate this year. Jaden barely even played. Terry barely even played. So many people barely played. But I wonder if the hiring of David Blau puts a little bit more pressure. We know that there's probably immediate pressure. This is a bold move. Quinn might be tying his own future. It's hard to kind of zoom out to 12 months and to know what it really looks like without, what the 17 games looked like in between. But if he's, tying his future as a head coach to this particular hire, and I would say the defensive coordinator hire as well, does it put more pressure on Adam Peters to get more weaponry? They've got an offensive line that looks good, to get more weaponry offensively to make it easier for Blau in his first year as an OC.
I think they need to do that anyway, right? Like, I don't think it's a surprise that they need some other receiver, maybe two, to join Terry McLaurin, depending on what happens with Debo Samuel. Speed, they just need more speed everywhere on offense, but everywhere on the roster, but on offense for sure. I mean, what are they doing at tight end? Is Ben Sinnott, John Bates, is that combination good enough? Seems unlikely right now, but we'll see. So I think those things he needs to do already. Now, the defense is where, I think we would all probably agree, needs a lot more help. So I don't know that he would face any more pressure from this. I think the question is, I wrote a story last year during all the fun times about Peters and spoke to people around the league about how he's really good at listening to a coach, understanding what it is they want, and then going out and getting the pieces for them. Okay, let's just take that at face value. Does Blau know what he needs? Like, how does Blau know? I'm sure he has a feel. He obviously played the position and all that, but, like, how do they know? So I can imagine Peters, again, having more of a say here. He already has say over personnel, but even maybe more so. I don't know that David Blau is going to send him a note saying, draft this guy, So you know, I don't know if there's more pressure, but I can see Peters have even more.
Like Kingsbury did with Connerly Jr. I'm just making sure people understood the reference.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yes, I forget sometimes. That's things like that. But yes, so I can see, I don't know if Peters can have more say, but at the same time, you know, if he doesn't have an OC who can, like, they know definitively what makes sense for what he wants to do, then he has even more sway in that regard if he doesn't have to sort of listen to exactly what the OC wants, because the OC just may not know exactly what he wants.
Last one on Blau. How would you describe this as bold? How would you describe it to somebody who doesn't know anything about it, like from a Quinn perspective?
Yeah, I'm going to use an example here I've done before. I watched the TV show Survivor, big fan, 50th season coming up. And one of the guys who's going to be in the show is a teammate of Adam Peters at UCLA. Fun fact. But what I always note about that show is there are people who come in second or third place who have no chance of winning. And there are people who go out fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, because they took bold risks, and maybe it works, maybe it doesn't, but they gave themselves an opportunity to win. I kind of feel like that's what Dan Quinn is doing here. Like, sure, he could have hired a myriad of guys that we've all heard of before. You know, some of them might have been, you know, really good hires, i.e. a McDaniel. But, you know, who knows? I mean, McDaniel might be out after 1 year if they have success, so do you want to go through that again? So it feels like this is more than just, instead of just taking somebody off the obvious lists that are out there, he went for the upside. Like I said, if in a world where Cliff Kingsbury stays and then leaves after a third year to take a head coaching job or whatever, you know, Blau, after a year's QB coach, probably gets promoted unless, you know, they fall out of love. So basically just skipping the 1 year and going for the upside. So I think it's like that to me. This is hardly conservative, but not remotely. This is a bold move, to say the least, and I think it's probably, like I said, Dan Quinn maybe saying, I'm going out on my terms, and this, I think, it's also probably why, you know, he moved on from Cliff. There was just enough difference of opinion to say, you know what, I got to do my thing.
Yeah, I agree with it, and I think, it, by the way, it's an easy pitch. Now, what makes it a little bit more problematic, the pitch, not that they should care about it, but if they do care about it, we couldn't let him leave the building, resonates with this fan base, going back to, you know, the Kyles and the Shawns and the LaFleurs, et cetera. Couldn't let the next big thing leave the building. That's an easy pitch. The problem, of course, is if McDaniel doesn't get a head coaching job and he instead ends up being an OC, let's say in Baltimore or Detroit, and that team is killing it next year and our team is struggling offensively with a first-time coordinator, that's going to be a tough, because people will assume that Quinn would have had a shot, whether true or not, would have assumed that he would have had a shot at McDaniel.
La da da da, la da da da, la da da da, la da 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 da. All right, B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. So Friday, I went to the Wiz game and it was fun. Got to hear Trey Young talk. I don't know when we're going to see him play, but it was cool to hear him talk. Mm-hmm. He walked out, got a nice reception from the crowd there. So I went over to, so we had the show, got done at 2, I drove home, and then basically came back downtown in an Uber, because I was going to stay for the game where the drinks are free, so I didn't need my car. And I was working with, you know, my guy Derek, mm-hmm. who's just a constant jokester all the time.
The
right?
Bear?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So we do a live hit from the court. Then we go in for the Trae Young presser. Then we have to go back out to the court to do some more TV. And then we're wrapping up. We're done. And I took care of all my stuff, said goodbye. I'm walking out. I don't know the last time you've been at Cap One, kind of in all the media rooms and stuff. But with all the construction going on, it's all a very different layout. And mm-hmm. I was like consistently getting lost. But they were very helpful. A lot of folks with the Wiz listen to the show, which is mm-hmm. very nice. We appreciate it.
Good.
So I was kind of turned around, and I'm trying to walk from the media area out to the floor, like to my seats.
Mm-hmm.
And Derek comes out. He's like, yo, Jay, they just hired an offensive coordinator. And I know Derek well enough.
He thought he was joking.
That I was like, man, you're full of bleep, and just kept walking. And then he's like, no, I'm serious. Check your phone. So then I check my phone, and it had gone ballistic, right? So Friday night, the news comes out. Commanders hire David Blau as their offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
And I think I kind of thought Blau was the front runner, right? When Detroit asked to interview him and they said no. The Mike McDaniel thing kind of perhaps complicated it a little bit, mm-hmm. just because all of a sudden there's another guy possibly available with a ton of ties to Dan, and he's done it at a high level, right? But they never stopped talking to Blau, and it is entirely possible David Blau is not qualified for this.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, you have to have people that believe in somebody give that person a chance.
Yeah.
I had never hosted a radio show till 5 years ago. You know what I mean? But, hey, you've shown a lot that leads us to believe you can do this.
Yep.
Like, Blau's stock around the league, and this was last year at the Combine, people were telling me this, and that he was a real up-and-comer. And then I think it's simple. It's easy to be like, well, he's never done it. When you look at the staff that's there, I think it's really important to find out. And could there be more changes coming? Yes, that's what happens. Mm-hmm. There could certainly be changes, right? When David Blau was in Detroit as a player, Anthony Lynn was the offensive coordinator.
Mm.
Anthony Lynn is in Washington as the running game coordinator. Yeah. So, like, to think there's nobody with the experience there, I think is short-sighted. I like the hire. They have watched so many inexperienced offensive minds leave, go get other jobs, and go on to great success. And not that was DQ or Peters or Harris even, but like, I'm glad they're trying. You know what? We're going to try to keep one of these guys and see if it works out.
Because the whole thing about it is a lot of the young guys who we are so high on right now, Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, hell, Ben Johnson, those guys were received an opportunity very similar to him. When Sean became a head coach, how many years had he done offensive coordinator?
I think one.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he went from being a quality control guy to helping with tight ends to offensive coordinator to a head coach in a matter of a year or two. Sometimes you just got to roll the damn dice. Because if you're looking for young, fresh minds, fresh ideas, you're not going to get it by just constantly hiring all the same old people and tell a guy, oh, you need experience. If that guy goes and get all that experience, guess what? It's not going to be you trying to give him a chance. It's going to be multiple people giving him a chance.
Right.
And they may give him a better chance than you. You come in and say, hey, want to try the offensive coordinator after he gets 4 or 5 years of experience, and then somebody else say, hey, you want to be my head coach. It completely messes you up. So I think you've mentioned him for a while. And then when you start hearing people on other teams mention his name, and then when Detroit reaches out, hell, you got to make a chance. You got to take that chance sometimes.
Right.
And if you got people around to help, because nobody, like I think people when they hear offensive coordinator, when you hear offensive coordinator, you assume he does everything. A lot of them try, and they end up in situations like a lot of them have. But those that have help and they lean on those guys for their help, those guys stay around a long damn time. And then their playbook goes from this to this.
Right.
Because they've taken ideas from other people to go out and work. Hell, my return game was exactly like that. I started off trying to figure it out, but every time I saw somebody that was good, I took something. Took something.
Sure. Just,
and you grow it. And as an offensive coordinator, that's what you have to do. You got to find a damn way.
So the Commanders also interviewed 5 candidates, right? They interviewed Cowboys tight ends coach Lunda Wells. They interviewed Drew Terrell, who's currently the Cardinals receivers coach and their pass game coordinator. Drew used to coach here. Drew's a really good dude. They also interviewed 3 internal candidates, right? Tight ends coach David Rye. That's a guy I'm really high on. I think if Cliff gets a job, he'll probably bring Rye with him. But I don't know if Cliff's getting a job. We'll dive into that, too. But they interviewed Rye. They also interviewed Brian Johnson, who's their current pass game coordinator and assistant head coach. And then they interviewed Blough, right? Mm-hmm. So they moved quick on this. They did, you know, all the rules and regulations in place. They abided by them. But I think they, when DQ talked about building a staff with natural succession plans, maybe this wasn't exactly the timeline they thought.
It was a little quicker than they probably thought.
But I don't think any of this was a shock to them over there.
See, this, they interviewed people. And the person comes in and tell you what they would do with this offense, what they would do with Jaden. There are some guys that came in with their game plan that they've had for multiple quarterbacks. David Blough has been here with Jaden. He probably went in and say, these are my plans for Jaden, and this is where we were so far. This is what we were planning to do. There were some things that I would have done differently than Cliff did. So this is what I'm planning on implementing. I feel if we do this, this, and this. And they were, after they got through all the interviews, they're like, hell, he has the most innovative ideas. Yeah, he hadn't called the plays yet, but he has people on his staff that has. Let's move forward.
Brian Johnson's called plays. Yeah. Lane has called plays. We'll see who ends up sticking around, right? Like, there could be more changes coming. But you said something there that I think is really important. So Cliff is gone. Tavita Pritchard's also gone. That was a big part of the quarterback room. I think Jaden Daniels, people are like, oh, we can't throw another offense at him. I think Jaden's going to be just fine in whatever the offensive situation is. This does allow significant continuity. And
you can build off of this offense now.
Totally. I don't think Blough played for Cliff in Arizona. I think we're going to see plenty of consistent stuff that we've already seen. I would imagine the verbiage roughly stays the same. You're not looking to change everything. But David Blough also played in Detroit under Anthony Lynn. Ben Johnson was on that staff the whole time Blough was in Detroit. It's gonna be different. David Blough, Cliff Kingsbury is like the embodiment of the air raid, the Texas Tech offense that was going for 600, right?
Yeah.
Blough played his college ball at Purdue.
Mm-hmm.
You know what they do at Purdue? They run up, they line up in the I-formation. Like, it's going to look different.
Raise chickens.
They raise chickens. Thank you. I'm a Holly Farms man. But they, like, this, it's going to look different. I think, undoubtedly, is he 30 years old? Yes. But, like, you've seen so many of these dudes walk out the door and have success somewhere else. Try it. The reality for Dan Quinn, if next year goes bad, he's probably canned anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So try something. And I think for Mike McDaniel, knowing the amount of jobs that are open, knowing that
her and Mike would be like a rental. Because he'll be going, if he come in, things go great, he's trying to go get another head job next year.
Right. I mean, unfortunately, if things go great, Blough might be a rental.
Yeah.
But that's a good problem to have.
But Mike McDaniel is 1 foot in, 1 foot out.
Right. Blough's all in.
Yeah, because Blough has to establish himself, make a name for himself. So he got to jump head first into it.
Right.
Mike could be like, hey, I'm going with him, just, you know, did this done. And
he also might be waiting to find out.
And I said that earlier.
Maybe I get another job.
I posted that, I hit that the other day. I told somebody, you can't wait for him. If he's still waiting on a head coaching job, you can't wait around for him. Because he may end up taking one, and then everybody else you're looking at could be gone.
100%. Yeah. I think that's why they acted fast here.
Yeah.
John Kimes is going to join us at 11. Talk some Blough with him. Mike Jones will go around the NFL a little later. Nobody go anywhere. It is B. Mitch and Finley.
Welcome back. Grant and Danny on the Fan. We talked quite a bit Friday live out and about. We were on our field trip show from Pupitella out in Chantilly. And we talked quite a bit about the possibility that David Blough was still going to be the OC, even though Mike McDaniel was out there, because it just seemed like the team has very, very high hopes for him and was afraid that he was going to be leaving their building. And minutes after we went off the air and talked about why it could happen, it came to fruition and Blough became their OC. But we have not had a chance to react since, oddly enough, Danny. So McDaniel, still out there. one of the things you said was you could be okay with the Blau hiring if they kind of exhausted everything else and it was a situation where they weren't choosing him over McDaniel and choosing him over the field, and they basically, like, waited. They did the opposite of that.
Yeah, if McDaniel's a head coach, I'm not going to complain.
Right, they jumped first. Oh,
but if he's an OC, it basically puts your feet to the fire, right?
So how do you feel overall?
I don't feel bad. I know a lot of fans are really down on it because it looks, I don't know what the right word is for them. Everybody's got a different sentiment, but it looks like, well, we don't want anyone to say no to us. It looks like we were afraid. It looks like it's kind of, I mean, they don't see the level of risk that it takes to elevate someone that has literally never made an offense up before to this really, really high level position. He's skipping about three steps where you're a quarterback's coach, then you're maybe a pass game coordinator or, you know, assistant. You're jumping from, I played in the league 3 years ago, to in charge of an offense and a guy to have it kind of year. So there's a major risk there. There's a risk for any hire, obviously, especially in the position that Dan Quinn and company's in.
Risk is the biggest word, I think, I would say, synonymous with this hire. Like, if you said, give me three words, I would say risky.
Risk. Riskiness.
Ballsy.
Yeah.
And then I would say upside. Because I also think this is a massive upside play. I am, for better or worse, and I'll be wrong plenty, oftentimes going to side with the ascending young offensive play caller. We've talked a lot about head coaching hires in that way. I feel the same way with coordinators. Mm-hmm. I like the upside of a potential star in your building over a retread who's been all over the place coming back here, who's a known commodity. Like, the things that make you nervous about Blau's inexperience, you don't have to worry about if you hire, I'm just naming it an old dinosaur, but like Daryl Bevel, mm-hmm, or one of these guys who's done this at three or four stops. You could absolutely be more comfortable knowing they have an offense. They don't have to build one from scratch. They've called plays. They're not going to be overwhelmed. You didn't hire Blau because you feel good about those things. You hired him because, I think, for a few reasons. Number one, you feel like it's a multiple-year solution. You feel like he's not leaving after this year because he's not going to be ready for a head coaching job, whereas McDaniel or some other guys could have been one and done if it went well. I think his relationship with Jaden Daniels is pertinent.
I think it's pivotal to it, yeah.
Do not sleep on how frustrated Daniels has been, seems like, since they dismissed Cliff Kingsbury. And the fact that you kept one of his guys in the building who he's got a relationship and a rapport with around, I think the fact that he can help ease the transition out of Kingsbury's very unique one-off, not like anything else offense, to something else is also significant. And the fact that Blau is a Ben Johnson disciple, a Kevin O'Connell disciple, is going to run a variation of the offenses that are working in this conference, in this league, I think was also really, really appealing.
So we're all products of our environment and our experiences, right? There's a reason a lot of us who don't have our fingers in our ears or are just screaming anytime adults have a conversation, where we've got a little PTSD from Robert Griffin, right? Where our athletic wunderkind quarterback gets injured some, and then everything changes. A lot of people are a little bit nervous about things because, again, we live through our history. We should also have that same pathology when it comes to a year too early rather than a year too late. How many guys that were the darlings of the league were here in polo shirts in that coaching team photo? Basically, the league and executives in the league, the John Schneiders of the world, the Kyle Shanahans, the Sean McVays, even though Matt LaFleur's not, his name isn't golden right now, still, that's a bunch of 13-win seasons on his resume. And Mike McDaniel and everybody in between were here, were in this building, and they were allowed to walk because they weren't ready yet. They weren't ready yet. Well, they got ready in a hurry and turned in some great work.
I'll do you one better. Dan Quinn in Atlanta, years after those guys left here, when they were further along in their careers, had the possibility of hiring LaFleur when it was time for him to be an OC. Chose not to. McDaniel, time to be an OC. Chose not to. Let them all walk. Has said over and over and over again that was his biggest mistake. That just allowing all those guys to leave with Kyle Shanahan, rather than promoting one of them internally to keep them around with Matt Ryan, is why his time in Atlanta spun off the rails, because he went with Sarkisian and he regretted it. He didn't want to make the same mistake again. So I know why, to your point, as fans, we've got that. You're calling it PTSD, which I like. Dan Quinn's got that too. Make no mistake about it, though. This is such a massive risk.
Yeah.
It's so hard to build your own offense in real time over one offseason. It's really hard to learn how to call plays. And normally, I was talking to a player in the league about this over the weekend, and they were saying, you know, when I've had a really inexperienced guy, it's normally taken a year. It takes them time. There are major growing pains. Nobody really hits the ground sprinting. I remember back to even Sean McVay in 2014. Cousins gets benched. They go through this quarterback carousel. The offense wasn't really operating. even the savants, the gurus, the geniuses, the ones everyone ends up loving.
You got to go through it.
Does he have the time to do that? Because this person said to me, they just need to be patient. You know, it's going to take a couple years. I don't think that's what this is.
Yeah, how do you do that now?
To me, like, you better sprint in September. You better win this year.
There's risk every move, kind of as we talked about, because you're in this unique spot with 1 year incredible success, 1 year unmitigated disaster. Now there's a new hire because of the disaster part. If the hot up-and-coming offensive mind or guy that's been a head coach recently, Mike McDaniel, comes in as the OC and that you do well, he's gone. There's that risk. So now it's third system, 3 years, Jaden Daniels, huge risk. There's risk here where we're going, hey, we need to be patient. We don't have time to be patient. Year one, we could have been patient, but you know, would you have said, hey, good call. Let's have a neophyte that was in the league 2 years ago calling plays for your prize franchise quarterback. There is so much risk associated with this because of the backdrop, because of the context. We would not feel the same way if year two was pretty good, the year that I thought they were going to have, 8 or 9 wins, maybe miss the postseason just because, you know, normal regression happens. You miss a game or two with a hamstring or you get nicked up. And Cliff Kingsbury gets a head coaching job. We were going to face this anyhow, which is the point that you've made all along, and I know you've been vilified for it on fan Twitter, but a defensive head coach a lot of times leaves you in that spot where you kind of have to constantly fulfill this role. So there's risk no matter what you do. But to me, the big selling point for this fan base, yeah, we can talk about it's going to ease Jaden's transition. They already work together. They already presumably have a really good relationship, and that's a good thing. And this is a really big challenge to learn a new offense in year three and et cetera with all the backdrop of what happened this year. But for fans in this area, the selling point should be this organization, everyone get your word out, you want to stand up there and tell us this is a year early instead of a year late. We are doing this a year early. So the next McVay, the next superstar with a flat top that came through here that's running through the league, we're keeping him here. That's what we're doing.
The problem with that, if there's such a problem, is that when you do that, you need a runway. Like I mentioned to someone, somebody was tweeting about it in that sense, and I said, this is the kind of hire you make if you feel like you have 2 and 3 years ahead to figure this all out, which is not the case, in my opinion. It's a gotta-have-it, make-it-break-it, third-year for Dan Quinn, September you better get off to a fast start kind of situation. I really believe that. Mm. And if that is the case, it just makes this decision that much more curious. But I totally get how they got here. If on a binary I've got to say I'm for it or against it, I'm for it. Because I'm always going to give the benefit of the doubt to the exciting hire of an up-and-coming, ascending, the phrase I use this with Toboni and Butera and some of these guys that are beloved in their sports that get jobs much younger than they're supposed to, like these rising stars, these rock star type people. Blau is one of those guys. Is it too soon? Very possibly. I promise you 5 to 7 years from now, he'll either be a head coach or an OC who's having a lot of success. Does not mean he's going to have that success right away here. And if he does struggle a bit, does that lead to the offense struggling, to Dan Quinn not having a good enough record and everybody getting fired? Maybe. That's why this is a really, really gutsy decision. The McDaniel thing, my point was just he's going to get head coaching interviews. He's getting a bunch of OC interviews.
Yep.
It's going to take a long time. They also didn't want to wait. You could disagree with that if you want to.
But that makes sense to
me. They have no interest in being left holding the bag. If you wait, Blau goes to Detroit, let's say, or somewhere else. That's the guy you want. If you can't get McDaniel, now what? And you risk the Bieniemy situation of landing with a guy that ends up backfiring on you when you hire the guy last. So if you, I'm sure, now I will say, I don't know how hard in the paint I can go, but having talked to people close with McDaniel, the team never formally reached out to Mike McDaniel about an interview the way that you would normally do that in the league with an agent and all that stuff. Do I assume, because of their relationship, that DQ and McDaniel talked? They better have. Like, it would be malpractice.
It's malpractice.
And insanity if there was no touching base to say, hey, do you want to come here? And he's like, dude, I love Jaden. Let's go. If they didn't reach out to him at all, that would be egregious.
Yeah, my hope is, hey, man, I'm getting head coaching interviews. Exactly. That's probably where my path is.
A text, driving home from the facility.
Yep.
But what I was told was in terms of, like, the filing for an interview, the touching base, the agent part of it, like, that did not happen. So I really hope they did due diligence. The only interviews were, like, Drew Terrell, who was here as a receivers coach, a couple of guys.
Lunda, something from Dallas, the tight ends coach.
Wells, I think, yeah. The tight ends coach from Dallas. Those were not, in my opinion, candidates that were going to get the job. So it does not look like that thorough of a search, in my opinion. That would be one knock I have. It's not like they, you know, the D.C. search, they're bringing in Patrick Graham and all these dudes who have been D.C.'s for years. They didn't really do that on OC, and they moved very, very quickly to land at the spot which was right down the hall. I don't dislike it, but it's risky. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Speaking of coaches, Matt LaFleur sounds like he could be getting an extension in Green Bay. People think he should be fired. Where do we come down on that? And are any other coaches from these playoffs in trouble at all in terms of job security? You're listening to G&D.